You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome back to the Horse Helpcast. I'm Jenna Bosgarden, Manager of Digital Marketing for Smart Equine.
And I'm Ashley Lecomte-Lozich, Head of R&D for Smart Equine. And if your horse spends all summer stomping, swishing, and stressed, this episode is still for you.
So last time we talked about sheets and sprays and other external management options for insect control. And this week we're going to take it internal with supplements and feed through options for bug season and talking about all the summer bugs.
Smart solutions, trusted voices. Your source for equine health and wellness. This is Horse Health Cast by Smart Equine. The discussions in this podcast are intended for educational and informational purposes and are not intended as veterinary advice. You should always consult with a licensed veterinary or qualified equine health professional before making changes to your horse's diet or care plan. Hosts and guests cannot guarantee the reliability, accuracy, or completeness of the information shared, and as such, these discussions are not a substitute for veterinary or professional guidance, and any actions you take are at your own risk. Products discussed on this podcast are not endorsed by Smart Equine and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any medical issue.
Okay, so we spent a lot of time last week about what you can like put on your horse and around your horse to help with summer bugs and the five frustrations that we all face. But then there's also another factor we can consider. And lo and behold, supplement company, we're going to talk about supplements. I know everybody is shocked. Please unclutch your pearls. But
yes.
the big thing is like flies are persistent, as we all know, and the external stuff isn't always enough for every horse.
Yeah. I mean, well, some of the things that we'll talk about is like not even related to the horse, right? So some of the insect management is related to your facility and your manure piles and such. So I think that just like we do with supplementation, when we talk about your joint care supplements working best in a full program where you're utilizing good nutrition and body workers and your veterinarian, the same is true here, right? So you have a fly spray that works for you and a good fly sheet that you work that works for you, but a feed through option could also be a really good addition to that like multi-pronged approach to insect.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like so much of what we do, it all comes back to the same thing. Like there's just multiple ways to tackle a problem. So why not give everybody every chance at success?
Totally. I totally agree.
And so for the insect control supplements that we want to talk about, there's kind of a couple main types. So the first one is pretty straightforward. That's going to be the first one we talk about. And that is like what is considered an insect defense supplement. So these are supplements that can help make horses less attractive to insects, and they can kind of work through like scent and skin chemistry, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. And they're the things that you would consider are not going to be making insects the happiest about horses, right? So things that are going to make them kind of stinky, like garlic, apple cider vinegar, brewer's yeast, these ingredients you'll see on a lot of feed through defense products that are just kind of stinky, and they're going to make the horses just less appealing for the flies to land on when there's other tasty things for them to go explore, like piles of poop, right? So we're effectively trying to deter the bugs in some way.
And I will say, as somebody who fed my horse straight garlic for a summer, which worked great, your horse is most likely not going to smell like garlic or apple cider vinegar or brewer's yeast. Like flies and bugs have a way
right.
more heightened sense of smell than we do. So if you're like, girl, I do not want my horse smelling like an Italian restaurant, most likely, unless you have a crazy good sense of smell,
yeah.
they won't, I promise.
Yeah. And also on that same note, those ingredients also have really strong palatability results. So we see that horses really like to eat them. So as much as like we may not want to just chomp into a tablespoon of garlic, they have no trouble with the... Yeah. You don't like garlic?
No, I'm saying I would eat a straight tablespoon.
Okay, good. I like to like roast them in the oven. So maybe we could use this for ourselves this summer. We could do like a little controlled study with Ashley and Jenna, and we could just be using our apple cider vinegar and brewer's yeast and garlic, and we'll see if it works for us too.
Let's revisit this at the end of summer and see.
I like this. I like this plan.
The Irish soap in our planters from last episode.
That's right. That's right.
Garlic. It's going to be great.
I mean, our husbands may not want to kiss us, but, you know, other than that. That's right. That's a them problem. Those are three ingredients that we see a lot to help with deter the biting insects. And then we also have like a class of ingredients that you're going to see in these same supplements that are going to help your horse's skin just maintain its resilience in the event that they do get bitten. So these are going to be MSM, grapeseed extract, omega fatty acids. We're looking for ingredients that are going to help support your horse's immune system. So I know that Andy, when he gets bit by insects, he gets hives, like, immediately. I know. I feel so bad for him. He gets hives, and so I'm, like, a big fan of, like, Zyrtec, so he gets a lot of Zyrtec. But in the summer, when I don't feel like giving him 13 tablets of Zyrtec a day, I'm also giving him Smart Immune Mushroom. We have our Smart Itch Ease, so there's a lot of products like that with both the deterring ingredients, but also some skin nourishing ingredients to help fight the itch after a bug bite has already occurred.
Yeah, I love that. I love that a lot of these support systems and support supplements do offer like a pretty multi-pronged approach to supporting your horse. Because like I said, I fed my horse stray garlic for a summer. Did it work for the flies? Absolutely. But I switched to Smart Bug Off Ultra the next summer because I wanted something that supported the skin a little bit more because he also would get itchy and irritated. And that was kind of our sweet spot for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of, while garlic and everything does have a pretty high palatability rate, not every horse is going to eat it, which is why we do have these made into pelleted supplements. So like I just mentioned, Smart Bug Off Ultra is like super multi-pronged. It has like the you know, the bug stay away ingredients as well as support for skin health. And then Ashley mentioned a couple of really great ones. Smart Itch Ease is a really great option for horses who get super itchy seasonally or throughout the year. And then Smart Immune Mushroom honestly probably deserves its own entire episode because there's a lot of like very specific, very cool ingredients to help support like your horse's immune response, which is awesome.
Yeah, I'm a big mushroom fan. I don't have my horses on it in a smart pack, but I keep it like, I keep like a bulk unit of it in my tack room. And it's something that I use like if something pops up like that or Andy gets really hivey from, a nest of gnats that just attacked him. So it's one of those things that I certainly keep in my arsenal. So I do love that. And I think that one thing that we should mention here too, I don't know that we've really ever talked about the Equinox program in any of our, and I know this wasn't like a plan for today, but I mean, I guess since we're talking about it.
Yeah.
If your horse is like Andy and he's just a sensitive boy, you know, he's a big, burly, like 17 hand warm blood boy, but like we call him like our princess in the pea. He's very sensitive to all things, all changes. His skin is very sensitive. His body is very sensitive. So I am very diligent about how I care for his skin. And so our Equinox 365 program is a unique program where we have, in the summertime, we have our Smart Itch Ease and we have our Bug Off Ultra, which are used depending on where you are located in the United States. And then it automatically transfers you onto Omega 3 and E Ultra for the wintertime to help your horse keep those omegas up in the winter when they're maybe not getting as much access to green grass and nourishing the skin and those tissues in the cold, dry months. So super cool option for you if you have a horse that is a little bit more fickle and has more sensitive skin like my Andy.
Yeah. And if you want to learn more about that program, you can go right to our website for anybody who has not already figured that out. It's just smartequine.com. And if you just type Equinox into the search bar, it should bring up the page that shows you all the supplements and kind of explains a little bit more about how like we swap from one to the other and like what the timing is. Cause like Ashley says, it like depends on where you are in the country. So that way we're giving horses like the best shot at bug support when bugs are in fact starting and ending and things like that. But yeah, that's a great call out. Equinox is a really cool one. And it just kind of takes the mental load off of you. I know we all have like a mental load as humans and horse people. So like it's one less thing to think about because your horse is already automatically getting what they need for the seasons without you having to figure that one out. So
exactly. Yeah. We love Equinox.
Yeah, we really do. And so That kind of covers that first like umbrella of what a lot of what people think of, I think, as insect supplements. But then there's a whole second section that we're going to talk about. And I'm just going to preface this with, you guys are getting two horse trolls today. We are not the scientists that came up with this. Well, I've never been the scientist that came up with it, but Ashley is also not the scientist that came up with this. So
yeah,
if we flub a pronunciation, just know we're doing our best and we are just horse trolls.
Yeah, I don't think that like botticides is my jam. But listen, I'm eager to talk about it. I think it's really unique, very interesting. So there's this subclass called insect growth regulators. And these are ingredients that you're going to see in Simplify with LarvaStop, ingredients that you're going to see in Solitude IGR. So these are ingredients that your horse consumes. And as they pass through the GI tract and then into the horse's feces, it's going to help prevent the molting process of those larvae from becoming adult flies, which is really cool. So this is an option where if you want to have your whole barn on it, and it's going to actually prevent the flies from becoming mature adults. So like when we, in the very beginning, when we had talked about feed through supplements that make them taste icky versus feed through supplements that are going to help actually defend your barn. Two very different approaches there that can also be used together.
Yeah, which is cool because then you have, I mean, you're kind of really hitting it from every angle possible. You are keeping them less appealing to the bugs that are existing, and you're hopefully removing a lot of bugs from existing further. And I think IGR and Simplify, Solitude IGR and Simplify are ones that are pretty popular and pretty common in a lot of barns. And I think what you said, though, that's the most important part is like these work best when every horse is on it. So if you have like, and I've been at show barns of 40 horses and I've been at, you know, little private barns of 4 and 5 horses. And the private barns where we did it, it worked really well, but there's only 5 of us to keep coordinated. Actually, I got to imagine with a barn of 60, that might not really be in your guys'
Yeah.
Yeah. See, like it is tough because I don't like to like require my boarders to do anything with their horses. Our mantra is kind of like owners have agency here. So, you know, we certainly allow the owners to create their feed system. So this is one of those things that as much as I wish I could do it, it would be so difficult for us to require 60 horses to be eating this. And again, like Jenna said, it doesn't work the same if every horse isn't on it. But the feed through products that we had mentioned earlier, like Bug Off Ultra and Itch Ease, those are going to be ingredients and products that are certainly going to be applicable for a singular horse if the whole barn is not, you know, if that's not an option to get your whole barn. So in addition to that, though, you could also do things like fly stoppers. And I know we talked about that in the last episode. But when we're talking about like whole barn management, fly stoppers are another really cool option that you can use to inhibit the actual maturation cycle of those insects. So kind of take it from another angle there too.
Yeah, I think, again, just the more options you can do in and around your farm, the better. It might sound, I don't know, for some people, this might sound like a lot. It is a lot. Like it's a lot to consider. It's a lot to think about. Some of these things are things you can set and forget, you know, putting something in your horse's smart pack, having fly stoppers on auto ship, but they really do make a big difference when they all are worked together. And something too with those, the IGRs, the insect growth regulators, I know we've gotten a lot of questions in the past on like, are these safe? And they're certainly safe to feed to your horse. Like that's not the question, but are they safe for all the other, you know, non-terrible things on your farm? The beetles, the moths, the butterflies, the honeybees. And as far as I understand it, these should be pretty non-toxic to bees and other things, but I believe Solitude IGR can have some impact on like caterpillars and moths and beetles. So if you are somebody who is really cognizant of that on your farm or in your space, just take some time and look up the active ingredients. They're on the product pages, so you should be able to read those and not necessarily pronounce them because I certainly can't. But do some research on what's going to be the best fit. Again, these are perfectly safe to feed to your horse. They're very safe to use as like a general statement, but just want to make sure that if that's something that's on, you know, top of your mind, if you have more than just a horse farm, if you're, you know, breeding anything else or keeping anything else, plant life or bug life alive for any specific reason, just keep that in mind too, that what your horse is producing on the other end will affect some other things. And so I think the main question that people love to ask about these kind of supplements is, do they actually work?
That's always the question, right?
Isn't it?
So I think that every horse has a different experience, right? And just the same as people. Like my husband always jokes that like I have sweet blood because like we'll go out for a walk and I'm like, I have to go back inside because I'm getting eaten alive. And he's like, I don't know. I'm one of those. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm totally fine. And here I am like bathing in DEET before I go on like a walk at like 4 p.m. So I think that, you know, horses are one, they are experiencing different conditions in life. You know, horses that live outside 24/7 are going to have a much different load of insects to deal with than horses that are standing in a stall under a fan for a good portion of the day or standing in a limestone paddock. Even the difference between standing on grass and standing on limestone is going to make a difference in what type of insects and at what frequency and volume the horses are, you know, having to deal with them. So I think that do they work is a loaded question. Obviously, we all have our anecdotes on what works and what doesn't. But there is a ton of success stories. And we do know that, you know, some of these scents can be repellent, kind of the same as like citronella. You know, there is some type of repelling quality to it, but it is really hard to quantify with data.
Yeah, I think that sums it up pretty well, where it's going to work for some, it's not going to work for another. And I feel like we haven't plugged this in a while. If you want to try a supplement and you're just like, man, how am I going to know it's going to work? I don't know if it's going to work. We actually have a program for that. So if you put a new supplement into a smart pack for your horse and you try it for 2 to 3 months, you can give us a call and be like, hey, I'm not sure that this was the right thing for me. It's currently called the Guaranteed to Work program. So let our customer care team know, and they're going to help take care of you and figure out either another option, or if it just ends up being a refund or a store credit, like they're really great about finding other options, or just letting you, you know, move on and try the next thing. If that's the thing you got to do. So very risk-free as far as, you know, trying something goes. So always worth a shot, in my opinion. And then the other thing I wanted to note is, like, I brought up garlic a couple of times. We've talked about it. Another question that customer care has gotten a lot, and what I'll get on social media sometimes too, is garlic safe? Because there's safe levels of certain ingredients. And the notes that we have currently is that over 200 grams of garlic powder can cause anemia.
That's a lot. So putting that into perspective, Smart and Simple garlic is like 7,000 milligrams.
Yeah.
So this is like, we're so far underneath that limit. So yeah, there is some evidence out there that garlic in high doses can cause Heinz body anemia, or can worsen horses that are already anemic. So we're talking like 0.2 grams per kilogram of body weight, 200, 100, 200 plus grams of garlic a day. And to put it into perspective, Smart and Simple garlic, which is our most pungent garlic product that we offer, is 7,000 milligrams, which is 7 grams. So like we are far, 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 far away from having any concerns like that. However, if this is something that you have, a challenge that you have encountered with your horse, this is certainly something that you should talk to your vet about before considering starting a product like Smart and Simple garlic, or a product that has high concentrations of garlic in it.
Yeah, I love the perspective, though, that 200 grams is like what's considered to be around the unsafe level, and 7,000 milligrams is what we've got in like our most total.
Yeah. So 200 grams is
a ton of garlic like that.
200 grams is 200,000 milligrams.
There we go.
There is no toxicity to be concerned about if fed as directed. If your horse tips over a bulk jar of garlic and eats it at his free will, certainly call the vet, right? But if it is fed as directed, if you feed it in smart packs, you're feeding one dose a day to a horse at the appropriate size. We're assuming your horse is, somewhere between 500 and 1100 pounds, then as directed fed, there should be no toxicity concerns.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. And just helpful to keep into perspective, especially for people like me who, like, math is not an inherent skill that I have. So knowing those numbers is really helpful to keep in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are things to consider. In talking about efficacy, though, some of the ingredients that we had talked about in Simplify with Larvastop, like the diflubenzuron, those certainly do work. Those are insecticides, and they definitely do have studied efficacy. So if that's the approach that you're trying to take, that's great. Understand, though, that those are not deterring ingredients. So that's not the one that's going to make your horse smell icky. That's just going to inhibit the growth. So if you take that horse out of the place where you're inhibiting the growth, say you put them on a trailer, or you take them to a horse show and there's other horses that are making poop piles or flies or other insects from other places, it's not going to help defend from those insects. So that's why when we talk about the multi-pronged approach, there are so many different ways that you can combat it depending on the situation that you and your horse are in.
Yeah, I think that's a really good call out too, that for horses that are at home, that are being kept at home, that everybody's on these, you know, growth regulators, that's great. If your horse is on this and traveling to horse shows, traveling to trail rides, traveling to clinics, whatever it may be, just keep in mind that it's not going to be working the same, because not every horse there is going to be using the same thing. So maybe that's a good time to stock up on the sprays or sheets or any other external thing that you can also add to their arsenal. There's just such a big difference from what you do with your horse at home in every aspect, but especially with these kind of supplements versus what happens when you take them outside of home.
Absolutely.
So the other question I think we get a lot that we've answered before and we will happily answer again is, not only do they work, but how long does it take for a supplement to actually work? And I know for these supplements that are making your horse less attractive and less appealing, the garlic, the brewer's yeast, our typical response is give it 4 to 6 weeks. It sounds like a long time. It's not as long as you'll think it is, but 4 to 6 weeks to see full results. And keep an eye on it too. I think there's something really worthwhile about, like, noting what your horse's behavior is the week or 2 weeks before you start feeding, and then keeping an eye on it after, because it's going to be a slow change and a slow process over those 4 weeks, where hopefully you're seeing less agitation. Hopefully you're seeing fewer bites or hives on their skin and things like that. So by the end of that 4 to 6 week ramp up, it's not you just being like, well, it didn't overnight, you know, finger snap change.
Yes.
Did it change over those weeks? And you just didn't maybe notice it as much.
Yeah. And so that's always kind of the time frame that we give, that I give even to myself, to say like, hey, give it a hot second, let it do its thing. So with that in mind, I would always recommend that regardless of what you are planning to do, if it is supplementation, this doesn't count for fly sheets and fly sprays, but start it before fly season starts. So if you're going to give your horse's body some time to get these circulating levels titrated up high enough, you want to start before fly season. So like you're saying, and they're going to be less irritable, or let's just do that before fly season begins so that we kind of nip it in the bud before it starts. And again, these are supportive ingredients. They're not going to fix everything, but giving it a little bit of time to ramp up before the insects are out in full force is definitely a way to go. Now, if we're talking about the feed through insecticides that are actually going to stop the molting process and prevent those larvae from becoming adult insects, that's going to take some time to break that life cycle too, right? So the adults have to die off, and then you have to go through this entire life cycle. You have to give that a little bit of time to help as well too. So if you're talking both of these types of products plus your fly stoppers, you're starting a little bit before fly season. You do have a lot of tools in your toolkit there to, try to stop the problem before it even becomes a problem.
Yeah. And I know this episode's going to hit, I mean, for us, it's end of May, right? So for some folks, like, fly season has already started, and it's like, wow, guys, this episode would have been helpful, 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, you're probably right. I'm really sorry about that. I did not think about it until now. But if you can't start it 4 months ago, you can still start it
now. Yeah, like, absolutely.
Bugs are going to be around until, for a lot of us, August, September, and maybe even the start of October. And so we've talked a little bit about, both of these options, but just to really lay it down in like a very cut and dry kind of way, like, use these feed throughs that have, the garlic and the apple cider vinegar and the brewer's yeast. If your horse is super sensitive, and if you are looking for individual support, or if your horse is just even, moderately or lightly sensitive, but if you are looking for individual support for your horse to hopefully have less bugs landing on them and biting them, that's the way to go with a smart bug off, with a smart itch ease, with a smart and simple garlic or things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And those ingredients, those products also contain ingredients that are just going to help to soothe their skin and make it a little bit more resilient, when they do get bitten by insects. So hopefully keep them a little bit more comfortable.
Absolutely. And then on the other side of that coin, if you are somebody who wants to reduce a fly population across your barn, whether it be big, medium, or small, if you can coordinate with your fellow boarders, co-op, if you have horses and your own property and you get to control all of that, the IGRs, the insect growth regulators, that's definitely one for you guys, because that's
absolutely
within your ability.
Yeah, it's add to cart. It's on my wish list. If once I can convince 60 people to get on board with me, I've thought about, like, maybe I just need to increase my board $25 and just add it to everybody. But I'm sure I would get some angry emails. But one day.
I had a barn manager do that. And
really?
We're pretty irritated until we had less.
Until it was amazing. Until no one was getting bitten by anything and we didn't have to put fly boots on anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
a girl can dream.
And see if that's your borders have revolted or not.
That's right. And yeah, but one other thing to consider here is that you can also use both. You can use everything. Like, there is no one or the other here. Your horse can be on a product like Smart Bug Off Ultra. You can also use fly stoppers, and they can wear a fly sheet with fly boots and a fly mask. Like, you can combine all of these things to give your horse the maximum comfort and protection that you can offer. So These are not like mutually exclusive options.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, tying it back to the previous episode, if you haven't listened to that, I do recommend it. We recorded it. I would recommend it. But there's a lot of other things outside of supplements. There are the sheets and the masks and the boots. There are fans and different ways to handle your manure and traps you can put around the barn. And then there's also supplements. So there's really a whole just complete fly program that you can build for your horse if it's, you as an individual boarding, or for your barn if you have that kind of control over the program that you're in. But like, really, at the end of the day, it's all about finding the pieces, as with anything, finding the pieces in all of these options that work best for the situation and the horse that you have. And
I totally agree. Yeah.
If you try something and it doesn't work, as always, feel empowered to swap it. I know for myself, sometimes I would try something and feel really excited about it. When it didn't work out, I'd be like a little low-key embarrassed that I was, so gung-ho and it didn't work out. But if you buy a sheet and your horse hates it, okay. See if you can sell it. See if you can give it away, donate it to something, turn it into something else. You said that you guys use old fly sheets to cover grain when you're going out to feed. So that way the grain
can be
inundated with flies. Do that. If you tried fly boots and your horse, walks, like they've never seen a boot in their entire life and they hate it and they're miserable, take them off. Try the next thing. If your horse hates a traditional fly mask, try the quiet ride, the slinky ones that are really soft and close to their skin. There's nothing wrong with continuing to try things and figure out what works for you and your horse. The only bad program is a program that doesn't work.
Amen. I love it. No notes. Nothing to add.
All right. And I think that's really kind of all we have for you today. It's a little bit quicker episode. Hopefully everybody is getting out to the barn and getting some great time, either grooming, bathing for a lot of us who have not seen the sun in a couple of months, and even riding. So we're getting you back out to the barn a little bit faster with a shorter bite-sized episode for the first time in a while. But for me and my key takeaway, as always, it's finding what works for you. It's trying different things. It's utilizing things like happiness guarantee for products that don't fit or don't work, and using the guaranteed to work promise for supplements that don't work out. But just mix and matching until you find what works for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, I've said before that my horses are managed in ways that are sometimes not ideal. Like Andy and Tilly both live in a stall overnight, and we do not have a property where there are fly stoppers or feed through insecticides. So we're doing our best with lots of clothes. But we've also talked about how I have horses that live outside that typically don't wear fly clothes. So I think that my key takeaway would be, given your situation and what your horse's life is like and what your resources look like, just do the best that you can. You know, Mother Nature also did create nice, like, hair and thick skin for them. So in the event that they just live out in the mountains of wherever and you can't do anything but spray them with fly spray once a day, that you're doing great too. So I think that my biggest opportunity with them is I just don't like them stomping all day. So I try to, at the very least, put fly boots on mine. But anything that you're doing to help your horse be more comfortable is a huge win. Even thinking about it, even just thinking about doing something for your horse to make them more comfortable is a huge win.
Yeah. Even just being here and listening to us yap.
That's right. That's right.
You are considering, you are thinking, and that's perfect. You're doing everything you need to do right now. And also, I do want to take a second because we covered a whole bunch of stuff in the last episode about what goes on and what goes around.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's like two main things that I didn't feel like we gave enough time to. One will be
quick. Yes.
And one is fly masks. So we talked about, you know, they have ears or they have the long nose and they have UV protection and all that's great. But we didn't really talk about the fact that there's like two main styles. One is the very classic that a lot of people will see where it goes up and around your horse's eyes and there's a good amount of space in front of their eyes and all over their face. A very traditional look. It's the one that non-horse people will ask you all the time. Why is that horse blindfolded out in their paddock?
Yeah.
Not meshed, you can see. But then there's also another kind that you had mentioned that you ride with. And do you want to talk a little bit about like what that is and why you ride with it?
Yeah. So I think I had talked a little bit about how Andy is like very particular about bugs when we're riding, to the point where we thought that he had like trigeminal neuralgia. And because he just keeps like flicking his nose. And I'm like, oh God, don't let this horse have head shaking. But we noticed that it only gets bad when the bugs are out. And so I started riding him in like the slinky material Lycra that has like the fine mesh bulbs over the eyes. And it's so tight fitting and smooth to the skin that I actually put it under his bridle when I go out. And I say my like endearing term, across the street, which is like where all of our trail systems are. So whenever I go across the street, if I'm leaving my barn and I know the bugs are bad out in the forest, I always wear that. It has ears, it has a long nose, and it just kind of helps keep his face free. But it's, again, going to be so tight fitting and form fitting that it goes underneath his bridle really comfortably. And that fine mesh is so easy for him to see out of, opposed to like the thick, like the cachel one that, right, we all have from like our child, like burned into my head from my childhood, a little bit different, a little bit more sturdy, something that that's going to stand up to turn out, to playing, to rolling in the dirt and the rocks and all that. So a little bit more durable and certainly a little bit more like high capacity as compared to something that you would ride in. So I have both of them and I use them in different situations.
And the one that you use for riding, I know you said Lycra, but is that the same material as what like the slinkies are that we put?
Yeah, yes. It's almost a little thinner, actually. It's like the same idea, but my fly mask one's a little bit thinner.
Yes,
I can find the link. It is a Smart Pack branded one. I'll find the link. We can put it in the show notes. I love it. So if your horse is like really finicky out on trail rides, or you like to go for like nice, slow walk, leisurely trail rides out in the wilderness, and you need a little bit more defense, that's a great option. Love it.
Yeah. And from looking at it, the mesh over the eyes, like you said, it's really fine, but like even in the photos, you can actually see the horse's eyes through it comparative to those thicker, durable meshed ones that we're used to seeing. So very, very different use case, very different materials, but great for both options. So I'm glad that we actually took time to differentiate those for everybody.
Yes, me too.
And then the other thing that we didn't talk about last time that we should have is like the spot on treatments. And there's a couple different kinds. The ones that we care, the ones that I've used is the Pro-Force spot on for horses. So it comes in just a little like almost super glue tube is what it looks
like. Yeah.
You drop it behind your horse's ears and on the dock of their tail and around their knees and their hocks and things. And with that, it helps repel and kill a ton of things. So I'm going to list it from the product page just to give you guys an idea of what I mean when I say a ton of things. Corn flies, face flies, stable flies, house flies, black flies, deer flies, horse flies, gnats, mosquitoes. And I think it also works to kill and repel ticks, which is really the main reason that I got it because my horse was
same.
Bad. One summer.
Yeah.
I said never again because it was horrible. So if you're looking for tick options, there's not a ton out there, but the Pro-Force and the spot on, those things are awesome. Have you ever used that?
You know what? I have because I get this question all the time, like outside of work. My whole barn, like I'm the smart pack girl, right? And they're, you know the product, like answer all my questions. So the one question that I get, I mean, like weekly, all the time. How come there is not like a Frontline Plus style product for horses? Like I give my dog and my cat Frontline and they don't get fleas and ticks. How come I can't do this to my horse? This product, the Pro-Force Spot On, that's going to be like the closest that you're going to get to that. It repels ticks for like up to 3 weeks. So like you have quite a bit of time in there. It comes in a 12-week supply. So like you have a lot of product in there.
Order, you've got it for a bit.
You got it. That's right. So it's pretty much the bulk of the whole summer that it's going to help you out there. And I think it's amazing. Thank you, ManaPro, for giving us such a great product.
Seriously. And it's great, too, because you drop it on. You kind of get to forget about it because it's water resistant, and it's just going to go out there and do its job. I'm pretty sure the page even says great for pastured horses. So you know that they've built something pretty intensive if they're calling it out for horses that are living outside. And it's a lot of permethrin. So
Yep, absolutely.
And our next giveaway is officially open. So as of the start of this episode, Fly Frustrations Part 2, we are giving away a new Smart Equine prize package. As usual, the winner is going to receive a $25 Smart Equine gift card, a Smart Equine travel blanket, and a Smart Equine thermos. And you can enter for your chance to win by clicking or tapping on the link in the podcast description that takes you directly to our giveaway form. Or you can go to www.smartequine.com/podcast giveaway. This giveaway is going to be open for the entire month of June. So if you are listening to this at any point during June of 2026, be sure to get your entry in and good luck.
You can find links to today's guests and products in the show notes on your podcast player or on the website at www.smartpackequine.com/blog.
We are here twice a month on the 15th and the 30th, but in between, find us on Instagram and Facebook as Smart Equine or shop online at smartequine.com. And until next time, stay smart, stay unbugged,
and give your horse a cookie from us.